Have you been listening to the podcast and getting value from the show? If so, I've got a small favor to ask, because over the next few months, we're going to be making some changes to better serve you. Now, I could keep creating episodes based on what I think would be most helpful, but I would much rather get this right. So instead of guessing, I want to understand where you are right now and the real challenges you, your organization, and your team are facing. That's why I've put together a very short 90-second survey. It'll help me better understand you and how I can serve you at a much higher level. And as a thank you, the first 30 people who complete it will receive a free signed copy of one of our books. To take part, just go to the show notes and click the link titled Leadership Survey. Or you can go directly to letsgrowleaders.com/podsurvey. PODSURVEY. It'll take less than 2 minutes. I really appreciate your input. It will genuinely help shape the future of the show.
Even if they're great with people, they still sometimes feel that conflict. And sometimes that conflict is outward. You can hear the conflict, but a lot of times the conflict is inward. In other words, they just get bugged inside. Mm-hmm. And they hold it in. So it's like it creates this discomfort.
Hey, it's David, and you're listening to Leadership Without Losing Your Soul, your source for practical leadership inspiration, tools, and strategies you can use to achieve transformational results without sacrificing your humanity or your mind.
Dealing with workplace conflict and invested in yourself in that way. I am excited to kick off season 17 here with our guest today, and we're talking about you and your leadership journey and how you can continue your development, deal with adversity when it comes, overcome some of the leadership challenges that you certainly will recognize, find a little bit more about journaling and how that can serve us, and some really cool opportunities here. So our guest today is Kim Addis, and Kim is the founder of Frame of Mind Coaching and co-founder of The Journal That Talks Back, which is a pretty cool system. I'll have her explain a little bit more about that here in a bit. Kim uses a unique philosophy and direct coaching style to help you identify any blind spots, learn to direct your thinking to achieve extraordinary results. Kim's an author, speaker, entrepreneurial coach, and mom of five. I was one of six, Kim, so I know that's a tall order. Kim's dedicated. It is a tall order. Dedicated to teaching her powerful coaching process to leaders, execs, and entrepreneurs worldwide. Kim, welcome to Leadership Without Losing Your Soul. Glad you're here.
Thank you so much. I am very excited about this conversation. So let's get started.
All right. Well, let's do it. All right, Kim, to get us started here, I want you to take us back we're going to get to know you just a little bit better by taking us back to your earliest memory of yourself as a leader. And you think back a moment in time, you're like, yeah, that was leadership. I was a leader there. How far back do we go and what was it? What happened?
Yeah, I will share an experience. I don't know if I was a leader, but it told me where I was headed in life. How about that? I was fairly young. I had just started high school. I grew up in Montreal, so high school started in grade 7. And I went to a school where the school was round. And every lunchtime, you would go eat lunch, and then you would walk around the circle, just around and around and around, like you with your friends, right? Like that was the activity. So we were walking around the circle, and I saw this girl who was older than me, who looked very odd. So she's a tall, thin, very lanky. Her hair was super kind of thin, and her tooth was broken, and she had a cigarette in her hand. And I think she was wearing very, very tight clothing. And I was like 12 years old, never saw anything like that in my life, you know? And I just kind of looked at her, and she noticed that I looked at her and did not appreciate that at all. And within a few minutes of that exchange, she had my back against the wall, and she decided she was going to beat me up. What are you looking at? You know, who do you think you are? And I was seriously threatened. She was ready to like take me out to the back and have a fist fight with me. And I don't know, you don't know me very well, but I'm not a fighter, I'm not a fist fight kind of person. And when I was 12 years old, I was super shy, like just super not, I was terrified is the real way to put it. So I was like, no, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I didn't mean it. And I just totally like, I didn't, get up in her face and I didn't challenge her. I didn't say anything. I'm like, I just really kind of retreated because I didn't want to get into a battle. Finally, a teacher stepped in and broke up what would have been a fight. And I was like, just wow. It was one of those moments that stayed with me forever. And after that, and her name, by the way, was Shelley. And after that, I started having dreams of Shelley. Every week I was dreaming of Shelley. And the dream had Shelley and I in a roller coaster. We were in a roller coaster in the same bucket, like in the same seat. And Shelley and I were having a conversation about her life. And it kind of went like this, like, Shelley, why do you have to be the way you are? Like, why are you the way you are? You don't have to be that way. You don't have to be violent. You don't have to fight with people. You can reform your life. And that was my 12-year-old dream until I finished high school. And so, was that me as a leader? It wasn't me as a leader per se, but it laid the groundwork for my future, which is coaching leaders.
And you got started coaching in your dreams at 12 year old. I love it.
In my dreams, correct.
But the truth in that too, right? I mean, how many? I'm thinking back to a bully that I had frequent run-ins with from, I don't know, gosh, 3rd grade through, yeah, 6th, 7th grade, somewhere in there. And that question of why do you have to be like that? And then I later on in life got to know more about his family and all he was dealing with, and it's like, oh. I get it.
Yeah. Well, I didn't
Yeah.
get it at 12. I was really, really unexposed, right?
Yeah, takes time.
When that event happened, something triggered in me, like this sense of compassion and a deep understanding, like this person needs help. And what can I do to help? Even though in this situation, I would call myself the victim, but I don't like to call myself the victim. So,
Yeah, but
yeah.
it triggered that awareness and the, like you said, that compassion, the awareness that wow,
Yeah.
somebody needs help here, and even if we're not able to do anything in that moment, that's still a powerful learning for the rest of our life that
Yes.
everybody needs help in different ways.
It left a mark.
Yeah, for
Yeah.
sure. Well, thank you for sharing that with us, and it certainly informs as you're getting into the conversation about coaching. Tell us about the kind of coaching that you do. Let's take a kind of a 50,000 foot view of your
Yeah.
coaching. I want to get into it for our listeners.
Yeah. So for starters, who do we coach? We coach leaders. We coach C-suite executives. We coach entrepreneurs. And if I were to categorize it, I would say we coach highly driven individuals, regardless of what they're doing. They could be in art, they could be in the government, they could be running their own businesses. It doesn't really matter, but they're highly driven individuals who typically are high achievers. And they come to us because while they have achieved a whole lot, there's something in their lives that's really, really frustrating them. It could be a professional problem or a personal problem, but they don't feel like they are where they need to be. They don't feel like they can talk to anybody. They feel like there's a lot of friction between them and others. And they have this sense of dissatisfaction around where they are. And typically, they're people, I use this term, they have a lot of slippage.
All right, tell
And
us about slippage.
slippage is where they let a lot of important things slip through the cracks. Things like their sleep, their health, their nutrition, their friendships, the life stuff, and so they're working super hard and they're not having a lot of fun.
And so as you're coaching folks like that, is there, I mean, you've got to see some themes, and that's a very narrow focus in the specific kind of folks with specific challenges that you're coaching. So, folks who are very, very driven and very, very focused in how they're driven, and maybe, I love the slippage term, but really ignoring a lot of other aspects of health and wellness in their life.
Yeah, they're ignoring all of that. And then they have this agitation. And a lot of times the agitation is related to other people. So other people don't get them. Other people don't work as hard. Other people aren't headed in the same direction. Other people aren't as vested. Other people don't understand. And so there's this people issue that keeps popping up in their lives.
Yeah. You know, you're reminding me of two conversations that I have been a party to over the last 2 or 3 weeks, one with a CEO and one with a frontline supervisor who literally has a team of three. Both of these folks saying something along the lines of what you just said, right? That, and very transparent about it. They're like, listen, I get super frustrated with people. I'm about the results and I'm here to get this done. And I don't understand why other people aren't. I get frustrated. And, you know, they're self-aware enough to know that, but not sure what to do with that. And so I'd love to, even while we're talking here, maybe we can explore that a little bit.
Well, one of the things that, so there's two parts to what we do, right? One part is like straight up coaching. And what we do is we look at how people think, how leaders think, and we look at how their thinking impacts what they do and how they feel and how they execute. And what we discover is that a lot of times people think in ways that take them away from their goals. So they have a set of beliefs, perspectives that are not aligned with what they want. And they're not even aware that that happens or that that exists. And so what we do in our coaching is we uncover what their thinking is, what their beliefs are, and we show them this dichotomy. Hey, you say you want this, but you're believing this. And these two things don't align. So either you don't really want this, or this belief here needs to get challenged in some capacity.
Can you give us a practical example of what that might look like? I'm not naming names or anything, but I'm sure you've seen that pattern enough. You can maybe share a specific
example. I'll give you a perfect example. It's a recent example. So I'm coaching a gentleman who's an entrepreneur, and he runs a sizable VC company. And he does well, and he's very well connected, and he's successful and everything else. And the conversation is, how are you going to grow your company? He's like, well, I don't want to manage people. I'm not a leader. I don't want to manage people. I'm like, what does that mean? I said, do you want to grow? Oh, yeah, of course I want to grow. Okay, but do you want to, how are you going to grow if you're doing everything yourself? It's like, well, I don't want to manage people. Like, I don't want to micromanage people. I don't want to, I have ADD and I can barely take care of myself. How am I going to, you know, watch over everybody else and see what they're doing and make sure that they're on task? Like, that's just something I don't want to do. And so he had a belief, and the belief was leaders manage people and leaders manage the actions of people. I said, well, what if as a leader, you don't actually have to manage anybody? What if you don't have to, you know, pay attention to their to-do list and make sure they're getting all the stuff on that list done? What if as a leader, you're hiring people who show up and are accountable for their work so that you don't have to hold them accountable at all? And he said, is that even a thing? Can I do that? Of course you can do that. And so all these years, he's doing what he does, but as an independent. And he doesn't know that he has the ability to grow a team. What's super interesting is one of the exercises we do in our coaching is we encourage our client to get feedback from others in a very specific way. And the feedback he gets is, you're a leader. And he's like, I don't think they see me clearly.
He's at odds with his own image of himself. Yeah.
He's at odds with his own image of himself. And he has a misunderstanding of what leadership can do for him. Yeah. He sees it as a liability instead of a strength, instead of a key success factor. So the way he thinks limits what he does. And we see that with every person we meet.
And it's such a interesting way that happens. And for our listeners, I want to, you know, as you're thinking about the example that Kim just shared, and you're thinking, well, okay, that's an entrepreneur and they're doing their thing, but, you know, gosh, I'm leading a team and I'm in, you know, I've got this group of folks reporting to me, or maybe I'm leading a company, whatever it might be. And that might not be your challenge, but we all have those kinds of beliefs about aspects of our work, our being, our existence that aren't serving us and don't actually line up with objective reality. And that's part of the value of coaching. Like, I'm thinking about a common one we run into all the time around here, which is, let's just take the notion of accountability, since, you know, we were talking about that earlier, of if someone isn't performing on the team, people worry, you know, there's all these tapes to play in our head. Gosh, if I have a conversation with them, it's going to drive them away. It's going to, I'm not going to have anyone left to do the work. You know, that's a common set of fears and beliefs that people have. You know, and then the conversation, well, what if accountability actually was an attractive force? What if, like you were describing, Kim, self-management and having clear expectations, and then we're all doing that together. What if that made the team better and made your work easier?
Yes.
You know, those kinds of examples, I think they exist in so many different realms of leadership and management for our folks listening.
There's not a single leader that I have encountered that doesn't have hidden limiting beliefs. There's not a single leader that I have found that has beliefs that are getting in the way that leader is not aware of.
And just let that sit right there. If you're listening, you've got some of those beliefs that are maybe hidden, maybe you're not aware of them, but they are keeping you from getting where you want to go. Our guest is Kim Addis. She's the founder of Frame of Mind Coaching and co-founder of the Journal That Talks Back. And we're talking about self-limiting beliefs here, Kim, and we all have them.
We all have them.
All right,
we all have them, and they show up at work, but they show up at home too. Like, they show up everywhere.
So nothing to be ashamed of. They exist. We're aware that they exist. What do we do? What do we do about them? Where is a good place to start paying attention to where it might be good to engage with a coach?
So if you're thinking about engaging with a coach and you're like, I'm not sure if it's for me, what you want to pay attention to is, where do I feel frustrated? And where have I felt this frustration repeatedly? Where does this frustration keep showing up? And what I mean by that is, very often you have a conflict or a tension in your life. It could be internally facing, like you're frustrated with yourself, or it could be you're frustrated with someone else, but the theme is always the same. And so when you look at that, I keep bumping up against the same problem. That's when you need to find a coach.
It reminds me of the lyrics. There's that song. Gosh, what is the name of that song? But the lyric is, I can run and run, and no matter how far I run, I always find myself there.
That's right. That's right. And so that tells us that there is a deep-seated problem that keeps popping up that you are unconscious of, that you're not aware of.
And for those who maybe don't have as much familiarity with coaching, and business and executive coaching like you do, what is the difference between coaching and therapy, and what can people expect in a coaching encounter and relationship?
So, you know, not all coaches are built the same, so I can only speak for myself. And so because we work with highly driven population, first things first, we know that these people don't like things to take long. They like to move fast. And so what we do is we deliver a very intense, a very intimate, but a very high impact experience that is designed to move them a far distance in a relatively short period of time. So that's one difference that I would say exists between the way we coach and therapy. Therapy generally takes a while. And I know that, you know, people in leadership positions, they don't have time for that. They want to move fast. So that's thing number one. Thing number two is, in therapy, there's a lot of going back. We go back a little bit too. The reason we go back is to understand the present, but our goal is to help someone move forward. Mm-hmm. That's the purpose of coaching, is to help them create and live and craft a life that they are very, very fulfilled by, that they feel good in, that they feel a sense of ease, joy, fulfillment, peace, that kind of thing, no matter what they're doing. And I think that in therapy, there's a lot of, let's go back and see what was wrong. What happened? We see people as not broken in any shape or form. We see people as whole, but we see people as not really having access to that unconscious stuff, the stuff that is getting in the way. And so from the standpoint of the difference between coaching and therapy, coaching is really designed as a shove forward, I would say. Whereas therapy is a little bit more, you're sitting in the hard, mucky stuff.
Yeah, going back and doing that. I love the kind of that dividing line of one's looking back, one's looking forward. And it's a good way, you know, and how am I going to act and what am I going to do going forward to get the results that I'm after?
Yeah. And what am I going to think moving forward in order to get the results I want? Because I've always been just doing. I'm a doing person instead of a being person. And so what we want to do is say, okay, hold on a minute. We know everything you've been doing, but is it leading you to where you want to go? And typically, if we're not getting to where we want to go, what do we say? Well, I got to do something different. And what we want to do is say, hold on a minute, take a break from all the doing, you know, we're always doing, take a break from that. And let's examine the thinking that got you here. And let's help you think in a different way that will get you there where you want to be.
Yeah, gosh, that's such an important, a vital distinction that whatever doing has been is coming from a platform, a foundation of our being and thinking and feeling. And so let's pay attention to what we're thinking to then change up our doing in ways that are going to be productive and meaningful.
Correct.
Love it. Love it. All right. Well, let's talk about some of the, in your experience, some of the top challenges that you see that leaders face. I know you've got maybe three or four of them that come to mind. So what are some of those challenges that are common that you see leaders facing?
Yeah. Again, I mentioned slippage. So that's definitely one of them. The other thing is isolation.
Yeah.
Leaders tend to feel like the burden of responsibility is on their shoulders alone, that yes, they have a team, but the buck stops here. Very often they feel like the team is there, but they can do it better. And so they have this feeling of isolation. Other people don't get them. Other people don't understand their sense of urgency. Other people don't understand why they think the way they do and why they operate the way they do. And so there's this feeling of I'm in it alone. Yes, I'm surrounded by people, but I'm in it alone. And I can't share that with too many people. So that feeling of isolation. So that's thing number one. Thing number two is we see human conflicts, right? So there's this tension that exists in their world with significant players. And it might not be across the board, but there's typically someone in their world that isn't operating the way they would like to see them operate. And that creates like a thorn in their side. And they try to fix the person, they try to change things, and everything they do doesn't seem to work. In fact, a lot of what they do tends to sometimes make it worse. Okay, so we see that they have friction with people. Even if they're amazing people, right? Like I'm an amazing person, people person, like you hear that leader say, I'm good with people. Even if they're great with people, they still sometimes feel that conflict. And sometimes that conflict is outward. You can hear the conflict, but a lot of times the conflict is inward. In other words, they just get bugged inside and they hold it in. So it's like it creates this discomfort. So that's the second thing. The third thing is, again, they feel this sense of chronic dissatisfaction. They feel like they should be further ahead. They feel like they should be moving at a faster rate. They feel like they should have accomplished already more by now. And they say to themselves, what's wrong with me? And if it's not me, then it's my team. What's wrong? Something's wrong. Something's broken. I'm not happy. We should be somewhere else. And then the last piece is that slippage. They're so focused on trying to achieve something that they let some of the most important things go by the wayside. And they're not taking care of themselves. They're not taking care of their physical bodies. They're not taking care of their emotional state. They're not taking care of their moods. They're not taking care of the foundation of their life.
I think there's a lot of listeners who can relate to at least one of those challenges, if not many of them, from the slippage, the loneliness, the human conflicts with somebody who's just not getting with the program, you know, in air quotes there, or I guess it's rock lyrics day. I can't get no satisfaction, right? That chronic right. sense of dissatisfaction that you described. So I'm curious, I don't know if we pick one of those, and obviously you can't do the coaching without the person in the room to do the coaching, but if somebody's feeling that sense, let's just take loneliness. I think that's one that a lot of leaders can empathize with and feel in different respects because this, you know, there's the challenges, there's the ways of thinking being, the responsibilities that they've taken on and so forth. If someone is feeling that, where is a place to start? And you said, you know, let's before we do anything, let's start with our thinking.
Yeah.
Where's a place to start that conversation with ourselves as we're experiencing that kind of loneliness?
So I want to, you know, loneliness, it's also like a sense of isolation. I'm in it alone, right?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
What's the beginning point? The beginning point is to explore, are you actually in it alone? What have you been sharing? What haven't you been sharing? And how come? Why have you made these choices? And so what we want to do is every single leader is thinking about it a little bit differently. We're not putting everybody into the same bucket. But we could have one leader who says, other people will not understand. I don't want to burden other people. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, they have their own problems. Or, you know, I can't communicate this effectively. Or I'm always in my head. Or, you know, whatever it is. So for each person, it's different. And what we want to do is we want to explore the storyline. Like, so who is in your life that you could potentially share with? Why aren't you sharing with those people? What are the beliefs that are causing you to stay silent? Why aren't you accessing resources where you can share with people who can relate? There are lots of mastermind groups. There's certainly coaching. There's all kinds. Why aren't you talking to your spouse about this problem? I can't tell you how many individuals I've coached who do not share with their spouse some of their greatest stresses. Why wouldn't you share this with your wife or your husband? Why not? They don't understand. I don't want to stress them out. I don't want to worry her. And so what we're really doing is we're identifying through this process, what are the beliefs about yourself, but also about the relationships you have and the solidity of those relationships. Can you actually lean on people sometimes?
Mm-hmm.
Or are you assuming that that's not available to you? And so, right, we're understanding each individual's storyline. We all live a story and we all tell the story we live.
And so this is, I was going to say, this is part of I just so appreciate the way you're describing that. Engaging with the story, what is the story we're telling ourselves and believing? And if we're not able to find our way through that, that's the value of coaching. That's the value of having somebody who can come alongside and start to ask those provocative questions that challenge our thinking and can lead us in some different ways.
Right. And honestly, I find that, you know, it's interesting that you chose isolation, but a lot of our challenges are seated in relationships.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great amount of that's the source of a lot of stress. And so for me, when I pursue the exploration of relationships, what I discover is how people really think. You know, so like the other day I had a conversation with an executive and an older gentleman, super successful in life. His wife passed away and he met someone new. In fact, he proposed, so they are engaged, but haven't picked a wedding date. And it turns out that his daughter's not a fan of this person. And so he feels conflicted. What should I do? Should I stay in this relationship? Should I not stay in this relationship? I don't want to upset my daughter, and on and on and on. And you think that we should just be talking about business, but personal life infiltrates business, infiltrates work. And so all of it needs to be addressed.
I had a bumper sticker it's decades ago, and I'm sure it was a leftover from the 60s, but going way back. But the bumper sticker said, don't believe everything you think.
Exactly.
And correct. So much of what you're describing is that pattern that in all these different ways. So I love this work that you're doing and the with all of these four big, and there's others too, but I think all of these are things we can relate to: the dissatisfaction, the human conflicts, the sense of isolation, and then the slippage and neglect of those important areas of life. So to start to address all of them, to examine those stories and what beliefs that we have and what we're thinking, and to do that work with a coach where we can and engage, or with friends or loved ones or people who are supporting you if before the coach comes. So I know that Kim, and again, our guest today, Kim Addis, founder of Frame of Mind Coaching, co-founder of The Journal That Talks Back. So clearly, Kim, you are a fan of journaling.
Yes.
I would, what's that? Just a little bit?
I believe in it.
Yes. You believe in it. So let's get to your thinking before we start doing some journaling. I'd love to have you walk us through your approach to journaling, why you find it to be so valuable, and how you believe everyone listening today can benefit from that practice potentially.
Yeah. So as a coach, what we do is we ask our clients to journal every single day in a private and secure online journal. At the beginning of the week, we give them a journaling question or a prompt and they start journaling. And every time they journal, which is daily, their coach reads and responds to their journal. So imagine you're working with a coach and you're interacting with your coach every single day. No days off, no weekends, no vacations. So what happens for the client who is doing the journaling? And I want to make a distinction between working with a coach and journaling and not working with a coach and journaling. Journaling is still very, very useful. Mm-hmm. When you're journaling every day, what happens? You're writing down your thoughts. You need to understand you are not your thoughts. And what you want to do is you want to take a look at what you're writing down and saying, is this aligned with what I want in life? And very often what you're writing down, your thoughts are not aligned with what you want in life. In fact, a lot of times what you write down, what you're thinking, is actually diametrically opposed to what you want in life. And so what that means is your thinking needs some cleanup. So when we go back to coaching, when you're working with a coach who can very quickly see how your thinking is operating and how your thinking impacts the outcomes you're getting, your coach can go in and quickly tweak your thinking and quickly say, hey, did you see this? Did you know that this is your belief? Did you know that this is how you view the world? And did you know that because of the way you see the world, you have been doing X, Y, and Z, and all of these things that you're doing are leading you away from what you really want? They're causing problems for you. And because the coach has skill, the coach can very quickly bring to the client this attention, right? I can show you very quickly what you're doing and how what you are doing is causing you suffering and pain. And you would be like, wow, I didn't know that, right? And then we discuss how you can address those issues. And so through coaching, you're changing your thinking quickly. The life you lead right now, everything in your life is a function of your thinking, the good, the bad, the ugly. If there's something in your life that you don't like, then what's required first is a change in thought. So why is journaling important? When you journal, you can see your thinking.
So whether you're working with a coach and doing that advanced level you've just described, or you're journaling for yourself, part of the goal is getting it out of your head, because it's really hard to look inside your own head, but it's a lot easier to see once you get that on paper, whether it's digital paper or physical paper, to look at and go, oh, what is this thinking that I'm seeing and how is it serving me or not? And obviously then with the coach, and that's the journal that talks back. That's the process that you're describing there. Yes.
Well, it's our executive coaching program too. The journal that talks back is you're working with a coach only journaling. Mm. And with our executive coaching, there's coaching and journaling comes with it.
Ah, okay. So a couple different levels of that. So the facilitated journaling where you have somebody else who's really examining that and crafting the prompts for you and then doing the work with you and really expediting that process. Powerful, powerful process. Awesome. Well, I've got another question, Kim, for you in here just a moment, but I want to, as people are listening going, gosh, this sounds really valuable. I would love to learn more about what Kim is doing and maybe how I could take advantage of it potentially. Again, your name is Kim Addis, and that's A-D-E-S. But Kim, where should people connect with you? Find out more.
Yeah, I am everywhere, but the best place to go is you can send me an email and just say hi. It's kim@frameofmindcoaching.com or go to the website, frameofmindcoaching.com. We have blogs, we have articles, we have podcasts. I've been on many podcasts. Tune in, reach out. We're here. And for people who are honestly leaders and you're thinking to yourself, how do I become a better coach? How do I do a better job of coaching? There's something on the website called Kim's Coaching Corner, where I work with leaders and help them on their coaching skills. Mm. And so that's something you might want to pop in on, drop in on. And we always offer everybody one free drop in if they are interested in learning more, picking up some coaching skills and tips. And
I love it. Stuff. The food court, the first sample's free. Fantastic. That's right.
First sample's free.
Take advantage of that. All right. Well, that was one of the questions was how do you support folks who want to improve their coaching? So you just answered that for us. Awesome. And then the next question I had was, and I think as we draw our time together to a close, I'd like to talk about the notion of emotional resilience. It's a leadership skill. It's a critical leadership skill. And as I'm asking that question, I'm particularly thinking of a leader I was talking with a couple days ago who, again, very, very committed to successful outcomes, really wants to serve their ultimate customers. I mean, coming from a real dedicated place of, you know, it's sincere, like there's integrity behind her desire to get the job done and a massive amount of frustration, overwhelming hours, demands at work, you know, understaffed with the market in their area, all this kind of thing. And, you know, you get stressed out like that and it's hard to be your best. It's hard to be the leader you want to be, that sort of thing. So when you're talking about emotional resilience and dealing with adversity and all of these kinds of things that leaders have to deal with. So what is it? Let's start with that. And then how do we actually go about leveraging?
So what is emotional resilience? Emotional resilience is the ability to bounce back from adversity with speed and agility and leverage the adversity. So things happen to all of us. We all get kicked somehow in life. It could be physically, emotionally, financially, whatever. We all have moments where we're not operating at our best, moments when we fail, moments that are challenging and hard. Nobody escapes that in this lifetime. And the question is, what do we do with those experiences? Do we stay down when we're kicked? Or do we get back up? And if we get back up, what do we do with that experience? Do we somehow turn it into an advantage? And those people who have the ability to turn it into an advantage are people who succeed at a much higher level than those who don't. So they don't sit in their muck. They don't sit in that place. They don't sit in victimhood. They say, okay, this thing happened. Not ideal, doesn't look great in this moment. But how can I turn it into an advantage? In fact, how is this terrible, horrible, awful thing actually a gift for me?
Now let's talk about that. How do we do that? Because, you know, you get hit by a car. Okay, I get it's up to me to get myself up into the hospital unless, you know, somebody else did it for me. But I need to be the one to invest in getting to the hospital, getting my leg bandaged up, do the rehab work to get back on my feet again. That's one level of resilience. I got to bounce back. But you're talking about a whole nother thing, which is now I want to leverage whatever happened to be an advantage.
Right. So that requires a different kind of thinking. And that kind of thinking says the things that happen in my life are designed for me. Even though at face value, they look like punishments. They look like terrible things. I need to look beyond what I see in front of me. And I need to figure out how this is working in my best interests. For example, in May, I was diagnosed with cancer. I had thyroid cancer. You can see I have a little thing. Nobody wants to get diagnosed with cancer. It doesn't sound like a good thing. But now the question becomes, okay, I'm going through this process. How is it designed for me? How is it in my best? How does this serve me? And if I can live a life where whatever happens, I figure out how it's serving me, then the things that knock me down don't hold me down. And I live a life with greater resilience. I live a life with more excitement, more openness, more wisdom, more freedom to take what comes at me and not get stuck with what I had before. I'm able to flow. I'm able to move. I'm able to have flexibility.
And the key to cultivating that for you, Kim, as you say, is to ask that question, how can this serve me?
How does this serve me? What's in this for me? What's the gift? I know it doesn't look like a gift. It doesn't sound wrapped like a gift, but there's a gift in this and my job is to find it, come hell or high water. need to find the gift in this.
What are, if you don't mind my asking, I'd love to know a couple of examples of either in your own life or clients or so forth that, because I think that's an incredibly important skill, but also one that can be a little hard to wrap our head around without some help.
Yeah. So, I mean, I wasn't always in the coaching industry. Prior to this, I used to own an assessment firm, a simulation-based assessment firm. And I ran that business with my ex-husband at the time. And my life kind of took a radical turn. It didn't feel good. It wasn't wrapped in a pretty bow. It was anything but that. It was hard. It was challenging. And as a result, I ended up selling off my company at the time that we co-owned. And again, at the time, it didn't feel good. It felt, it hurt. You know, I cried. Sure. I had a hard time. But the truth is that if that didn't happen, this wouldn't have happened.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is, it's always easier to look back and say, yeah, okay, I can see it now. You know, like my life unfolded exactly as it was meant to unfold. I got remarried, all of that kind of stuff. And I ended up being in this business, which was really a much better fit for me and a much better match to my strengths and my skill set. But imagine if at the time I could say, okay, this thing is happening. It doesn't feel good, but I know it's designed exactly for me. So what happens in that moment is I don't have to be so stressed. I can lean in. I can trust. I can have patience. I can know things are going to unfold in my best interests. Right? I don't have to go through so much pain and suffering. Because why do we have pain and suffering? Because we have fear. We have worry. We have self-doubt. We have a lack of clarity. We don't believe that things are going to turn out for the better. But what if we could assume that they will turn out for the better?
And be looking for the how.
Exactly.
All right. Well, there you go, listeners. Some practical ways to engage in your own journey, asking those questions about your own thinking, the stories that you're telling, the opportunity to engage with a coach. And if there isn't one takeaway from all of this conversation that I hope you're walking away with, it's take advantage of the opportunities, whether that's working directly with someone like him or Kim herself or her firm, or if your company offers coaching in any fashion, which many do in different ways, look for those opportunities that are out there and take advantage of them. All of us need that, as Kim shared earlier. We all have those ways of thinking, those ways of believing that aren't serving us the way that and helping us go where we want. And if we can get the help, that guide on the side to help us with that.
Guide on the side.
Everything's easier.
Can I, if you don't mind, give your listeners an exercise, a journaling exercise?
I would love it. This is a great place to end. All right, listeners, I'm going to give Kim the final word here. So take advantage of this journaling exercise. Be the leader you want your boss to be. Let us have it, Kim.
Okay, really, really quickly, grab a piece of paper and a pen. I'm going to give you two journaling questions to work on. Question number one, what do you really, really want more than anything? There are two reallys there on purpose. Why? Because I want you to think about what you truly want, not what is expected of you, not what somebody else wants for you, not what you think you should want, but what do you truly, deeply, personally want? Well, that's question number one. Write it all down. Question number two, what's preventing you from having what you truly, deeply want right now? What's getting in the way? Give me all the reasons. And when you write those out and you reread what you've written, understand that what's in question number two, your answer to question number two, is some of those limiting beliefs that you live with. And start to ask yourself, are those beliefs actually true? Is it true?
Fantastic. What a powerful exercise. I love it. Let's all answer those two questions and we'll see you next time. Kim, thank you so much for being a guest today.
It's my pleasure. I really enjoyed it.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.